So we're going to talk about personal protection. Personal protection. And incorporating with God's power for our protection. So we're talking about the protection of God today. So we're talking about personal protection in God. And so if you go to text Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. I don't know, did I give people anything back there? Yeah, okay. So here I'm reading the New Living Translation. We're talking about personal protection. How many people need to know about personal protection? Well, three people raised their hands. I expect more people. There's another one. There's any. Do we have another hand? Is there another hand back? Another hand back there? Okay. Okay. Who'll take 10? I'll take another 10. Another 5. 5. 5. So we're going to go to Psalm chapter 4. This is not going to be good for television. So we'll start again. The protection of God. And so chapter 4, verse 8, the New Living Translation. The Bible says here, in peace I will lay down and sleep. Man, it's good to have peace and sleep at night. Isn't it wonderful to sleep at night and go back? You're not worried, don't have any anxieties. Your stomach is not turning. You're not worried about tomorrow. You're not worried about the future. You're not expecting to die or whatever. You want to live. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says, I'll lay down and sleep. Notice this, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. For you alone, O Lord, keep me safe. He will keep you safe. That's God's promise to you, that God will keep you safe. You can go to bed tonight, not worry about COVID, not worry about anybody in your family being attacked or your house being attacked. So the message here, the underlying message here of this message this morning, this Bible lesson, is that there's two sides to God's protection. Number one, there's God's side and your side. If we want God's protection, there's two things to think, consider about it. Number one, God will protect you. Number two, you have to be sure that you're going to walk in that protection and keep his laws and follow him. God doesn't promise to protect anyone who'll be stupid. He doesn't promise in his Bible that he'll protect everyone, whether or not you are disobedient or not, whether or not you want to go sinning. There's no protection for you. But if you want to follow God, there's protection. So there's God's side, and there's our side. So the psalmist reveals that when we live under God's shelter, we'll have protection. But we know that it's not automatic. This protection is not automatic. There are things that we need to do with this concerning his promises regarding our protection. The Bible says that God lays a canopy over us. If you look in the scripture, we looked before that God lays a canopy over his people. Like that. And the Bible looks at that, gives us an illustration like a bird, an eagle covering her chicks. It shows us there that God will spread his wings over in Psalm 91, and he'll protect you. And so, you begin to see that. We see that God even laid a cloud. It talked about God puts a cloud over his people. We see that in the Old Testament as well. He said, like a cloud, he'll protect you. The enemy can't see you. So this canopy is over us when we follow God. He'll shelter us no matter where we go if we stay in connection with him. He also sends his angels to protect us. In fact, there's angels in here today. You came with an angel. They're here with you. But in order for that angel to actually to protect you, you got to speak right. And when you speak wrong, they're bound. They can't do a thing to help you if you're going to talk wrong. Because you're the one that determines whether or not you're going to be safe, because you have to do your part. So he does send those angels to protect us as heirs of salvation. If we want to see him, if we want to see how much more he protects us, then we need to study a little bit more. So the promise of protection here found in Psalm 91, it's called the protection psalm. Psalm 91 is called the protection psalm. So whenever someone travels, I'll send them off with be safe, and I put PS 91. That's the protection. Let's go and read. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 3, New Living Translation. You'll have it on the screen here if you want to follow me. If you got a King James Version, you can look at that later. You look at this one. This is the correct one. Okay, let's look at this, because this is clearly clear everyday English. You can study the Greek later if you want. Okay, so those who live in the shelter of the Most High, you're going to ask yourself, am I living in that shelter? Will find shelter, or will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You're under His protection. Verse 2, this I declare. Everybody all together say, this I declare. Everybody together say, this I declare. One more time. This I declare. So this is something that you do. You can't declare this if you don't know this. When you say this I declare means this I say. This I pray. Because when you say something, you could also pray it or you could say it. Brother Hagin used to tell us that according to Mark 11, 23, 24, you could either pray it or say it. Yeah. Everybody say, I could pray it, or I could say it. The reason why I do things like this to tell you stuff is because you learn more when you participate in the service. Yeah. And the more you say it, the more it becomes real to you. So what does he declare? This I say about the Lord. Notice this. He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He alone is my God. He alone I trust. But this is what you need to say about God. If you trust God, another word for trust means having faith in God. Another word for trust is relying on God. Another word for trust is depending on God. Those are all synonymous, or they make the same meaning. It means the same thing. Verse 3, this is what he will say. This is what you're going to say. This I declare of the Lord. He said, for he will rescue me from every trap, and protect you or protect me from deadly disease. So you could use that for COVID and say, he'll protect me from COVID. He'll protect me from this deadly disease. That's what you need to say. The Lord began to show me this morning that we need to go over some things again, because there's people in here that seem to forget about the protection of God. They forget that God will protect them. And I was reminded, the Lord spoke to me clearly this morning, because I didn't pick this thing up till this morning, this message. I had written this before. I made a number of messages. I think I put maybe 5 or 6 messages together, and I put them away months ago, before COVID happened. And I began to put this message together. Not me, but other people have put, I borrowed messages from people, and somebody says, you're plagiarizing. Well, we all plagiarize God. He wants us to do it. There's nobody's message is by themselves. It came from God, it's God's word. Like, no, who's going to go to the University of Heaven and penalize me for plagiarizing? When I was in university, I had to watch that. So, you know, they check you up. Whose word is that? Oh, it's Paul's word. Peter. So, The Bible says that God will rescue you from every trap. How many people know that the devil is actually planning right now in his stupid mind to trap you? The devil right now is planning your destruction. It's Jesus who said the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. He's planning on your demise. He's planning on your failure. Remember that Luke? He's planning on you failing over there. Just because you're going to go to Tulsa doesn't mean you're going to automatically make it. You're going to have to protect yourself. There's lots of American girls looking for Canadian men. So my daughter would have been married a couple of times. We told her, don't marry any Texans. And she almost did. She brought a little Oklahoma guy, and you found out he was actually a good man. You should have married that guy. But she's got a chance. He's not married, so I told her, you better go back. Go back for 30 years. Maybe the Lord protected her and me and all of us. So, he will rescue you from every trap. What kind of trap? I don't know. He's got traps. The devil's going to trap you from things that you're, you know, have trouble with. The trap says he's going to try to trap me. It's not going to be the same one he tries to trap you. It's all different. You have a different trap. But there's all you know, just he'll protect you, and there's deadly things that'll come your way. So, understand, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I'm reading the Common English Bible. I read the New Living people that are in here, but we also have the New Common, the Common English Bible people that are in this room as well. How many Common English people we have here? There's one person. See, we had to change direction for her. Okay. It says, understand that the last days will be dangerous times. We're all living dangerously, not just a few people. All of us, we're in dangerous times. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. There's germs everywhere all the time. How many people know there's germs continually everywhere? Walking in the mall, there's germs there, germs in your car, everywhere you go, there's germs everywhere. Virus and different things. But God promised to protect you. It says we're living in dangerous times, but how many people know that there's dangerous people? There's dangerous people around. There's rapists, there's murderers, and there's robbers, thieves, people online that want to steal and go into your account and steal your money. But sometimes your husband does a pretty good job. Your wife does a good job of stealing that money. You get them to steal. Who's stealing my money? Who's stealing my money? You're stealing your own money. So there's dangerous people out there. There's also dangerous chemicals. And there's also the boogeyman. The boogeyman is real, people. I want to tell you, the boogeyman is real. He lives under everybody's bed. Up until you're 14 or something, then he goes away. Then it comes back again. But what I'm trying to tell you is that your imagination is dangerous. That's what I'm trying to say. The boogeyman lives there. And you're afraid of him. He might show up. Like the other day, I went outside, and I was afraid of bears because they scared me a few times. I saw a bear sitting in my, on my backyard and going like this with a big garbage pail. So I took a hockey puck and I whipped it at him. He ran up a tree. But you know, there's different things that we're afraid of. So the boogeyman, you know, he's there. And he lives in your mind. So you got to get rid of that boogeyman. We're living in dangerous times because your mind can run on you. And you have to take care of that. So, because of dangerous times, so your mind can run. So, dangerous times are before us. We live in a very dangerous time, a dangerous people, dangerous, environment. We need to be aware of also the enemy's tactics. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says here, the common English, it says that we need to be aware so that the devil will not take advantage of us because of his scheme. So we need to be aware of how the devil operates. And he'll operate with the imagination. He'll attack your mind, get you into a place where you're laying in bed, you're dying, and all of a sudden you see yourself at your own funeral. You know, the devil will get you there. And so you have to take care of that. Take care of your imagination. So without God in this world, it's a very dangerous world out here. The question remains for all of us is that, is he able to protect us? Will he do it? Well, we believe that he will, because Psalm 91 says that it's available to us. This protection is available to us. God will protect you. God, you will be safe no matter what's happening in around this world. That if you begin to get into the things of God, he will protect you from every trap. Not just one trap or two traps, but every one of them. Say this. Say, he'll protect me from every trap. So because what is a trap? A trap is something you're not aware of. Because it wouldn't be a trap if you didn't know it's there. You say, oh, look at that trap. Let's go and step into it. Eh? You don't say that, eh? If it's a trap, you wouldn't even know it's there. Like little kids. So God will keep you safe no matter what's occurring around the world. So there's strategies. There's many things that happen. Like we talk about accidents. Is there really accidents, or is it the devil does that stuff? You call them accidents. And the insurance calls them acts of God, so they can't protect you for certain things. Acts of God. Not our God, but the God of this world. So it says here in 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out, your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. Notice that he's seeking for someone to devour. He cannot devour you if you're in the shelter. If he can't see you, you're in the canopy, how can he attack you if you're staying in the shelter of God? So we must stay with God and walk with him so that we can stay in his protection. God does not promise you that you can just do whatever you want to do, sin a little bit here, a little white lie there, and then he'll protect you. That's not how it works. And a lot of people take chances. You're playing roulette. A final word, it says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we can stand against all the strategies of the devil. Because you know he wants to get you. So you must be fully alert. We must use our mind. We must understand that he's attacking everybody else besides you. You're not the only one that he's attacking. So Psalm 46, we can say this. Psalm 46, verse 1, New Living Translation says, God is our refuge and strength. If you're without strength this morning, you can claim strength for your life. If you feel weak emotionally, you say, Lord, I can't go on. No, you can claim strength of God. I said, you can claim the strength of God. So if you're weak, you can't make it. Thank God that his graces will protect you from being weak. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Psalm 46, 1 says, you know, he's the great God, Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. God is present everywhere. He's always present. He's the ever-living God. His protection, if it's God's presence is everywhere, then you're protected everywhere. Your protection goes with you. When you walk, get up at morning, he says you'll be safe leaving the house, and you'll be safe coming back. You claim that in the morning. Lord, I want to thank you for protection. And I was talking to a police officer who's been a friend of us for years. You know, she hasn't been coming to this church. She's been a busy woman. She'll every year, how many years now? Maybe many, many years now. She would send checks. She comes in. She sends a bunch of checks every month. She doesn't come to church. She sends a check and gives it to Faith City because she believes in this church. And sends a check. That's pretty good. I wish you'd come to church once in a while. If you're watching me, you better come to church. So she said, you know, when I leave at home at night, she says that many years ago, when I leave at home, I don't know if I'm coming home sometimes. I'm driving up and down here to Nipigon and over there, and you don't know who's around. People just want to kill people, officers especially. So he's a great Jehovah Shammah. So we must do our part according to Psalm 91, because protection is not automatic. We need to put on our security system. You know, there's people who have security systems and they don't put it on. So you have to turn on your security system so that you'll be alerted by the devil. And there's a way you can do that by faith. So it's not entirely up to God to protect you. He doesn't say, okay, everybody's protected. It's free protection today. Eh? He doesn't say that. I know you're acting dumb, but I'm going to protect you. You've been dumb for many, many years now. We'll just go on protecting you. But no, you have to smarten up. Look at your neighbor and say, "You smarten up." Some people don't want to do that because you need to tell yourself, say, "I'm smartening up." Say from now on, I'm smartening up. Yeah. So they used to say this, I think, in the 70s, dummy up. You remember, how many people remember that word? See, everybody just not even born, everybody else there. And some people weren't that cool, so you didn't say that. So Psalm 91, 1 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We shall. So the promise is available for all those who would live in God's house. Just like you would do living if you're living in your mother's house, your mom's house, your dad's house. There's protection there. I used to go to my grandma's house when my mother and dad would have a great party. I'd go to my grandma's house. She never drank alcohol. I would tell her, "Granny, I want some eggs for breakfast." And she would tell me in her Ojibwe way, she says to me, "Where in the world are we going to get eggs?" She said to me, "Did you know that eggs are expensive? Did you know that eggs are expensive?" She tells me. "Well, I don't know. I just want to eat eggs. I saw eggs in the fridge." You might not think this is a big thing, but on the res, eggs are a rare thing to see. I know some of you don't want to laugh because it might not be funny, but it's funny to me. Some of you Ojibwe can laugh. Come on, laugh. So give you permission for you, no one's you said you guys laughing at natives. No, we're not. We're just we make fun of ourselves. Nobody has to laugh at me. I laugh at myself all the time. But when I do it to somebody else, they look at me. How could you laugh at that? Well, I wouldn't have survived if I wasn't laughing. I'd be crazy. When I was in university, my professors used to say, "You know, Roma, I've never seen a guy laugh at so many things about himself. That's the way I survived, is laughter, humor." So, the Bible says we must abide under the shadow. We must abide under. That's what you have to do personally. This is personal protection. You must say something. You must confess this every day. You must say this, that God is my refuge. He is my strength. You know, when you get scared, you say, "God is my protector." So, We must say, He'll rescue me from every trap, protect me from every deadly disease. You're going to say that. If a poisonous snake bites you, God promises you to protect you. I mean, we don't have poisonous snakes here, right? But Cindy, you've met a few poisonous dogs in your time. Vicious dogs, at least. But God promises you, you know, Ken, you need to pray for your wife regularly. You do? Yeah? Make sure that she comes home without any bites. If you're near toxins, He'll protect you. If people work with toxins every day and different things, He can protect you. In fact, I was talking to somebody not too long ago. They had worked with toxins and it affected them. You know, it can affect you. Different things can affect you. If you come in contact with a deadly virus or a germ, God says He'll protect you. Paul was protected from a deadly snake bite in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. New Living Translation says, let's go ahead and read Acts 28, verse 1 to 6. Once we were safe ashore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. You know, if you ever go to Malta, people take note of this. Write this down right now. Malta. You don't want to be on Malta without protection. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake. Everybody say, a poisonous snake. What was it? Poisonous snake. Okay, a poisonous snake. What did that do? It says, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murder, no doubt. So those guys started to attack him. I mean, they criticized him right away. Though he escaped from the sea, justice will not permit him to live. So they had a certain religious mindset about it, whatever you call that, superstition. They said, this guy escaped from the sea, but look at this. A snake bit him. And we know this snake has been in our neighborhood for years and killed many people. Same guy. You know, the devil is a snake, eh? So, So Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. Everybody say, unharmed. See, this is what happened to Paul. The people waited for him to swell up or to die and drop dead. There's people that are waiting for you to swell up and drop dead. But they're mad, looking at you. Oh, he's still alive, that guy. I wish a snake would bite him. But look at him. He's enjoying a he's got a nice family. Drives a nice car, goes to eat out every once in a while. You know, they wish you'd drop dead, but you're still alive. That's what the devil thinks of you. He said, I see that Dave, he thinks he's good. He gives out warnings about tithing and giving, and we'll get him. We'll attack him. We'll attack his family, his car, his dog. So he's ready to attack you. You know, the devil tries many ways to get to you. If he can't get to you, he's going to get to your children or your grandma or whatever. He's going to get to you, your house. And I was telling people that the devil sent a big woodpecker about this big. I was sleeping in the afternoon. I took a nap. I was so tired. I came walking. I just laid down. Oh, I got to lay down here. And the house began to shake. What is that? Look out the window. See Woody Woodpecker. So I ran downstairs and got my shoes. When I got there, it's gone. But it came back and put a hole this big. And Joe, if you see that woodpecker, we're going to get it. We've been saying that for years. And he just destroyed, man. He put a hole in my house. Just a huge hole. I'm saying this big, but it's about this big. I was speaking evangelistically. You know how evangelists sometimes they stretch out them. When Mark Davis says there was a crowd over there in Geraldton, there's only a 6x6 room. There were 7 people there. But no doubt he wasn't lying. It was a crowd, all right. But they didn't tell you it was a 6 feet by 6 feet room. Make it sound fabulous, eh? Well, that woodpecker was this big. And you know I'm not lying. Pastors have a tendency to do that, too. They got a little bit evangelistically in them, too. So he shook that off. Verse 6 says, but when they waited for a long time, he saw those, he had no harm. He wasn't harmed. Look at your neighbor and say, no harm done. So they changed their mind, and they decided that he was a god. See, fickle people, right? You know? This guy is a murderer. Next thing, he's a god. It's amazing. Just like that. You know, all your Facebook friends are like that. Huh? You know, they get mad at you. Next thing, oh, you're a nice guy. I've had over the years, people say, man, you know, Roma, you're the best pastor in this city. Man, oh, I wish I was in this church. They moved here. They never came here. You wonder where all those nice people are. So anyway, so the biggest thing in all this whole thing is fear. The biggest challenge that you have to face when it comes to protection, the greatest challenge is, you know, you might face many kind of things, but the biggest challenge for every person here, I don't care who you are, if you're just coming into realization, that fear is going to be the biggest thing. I always tell my girls, the biggest thing you have to overcome in your life is fear. And if you don't tackle fear, it's going to hound you and keep you, bondage for so long, all your life. Maybe sometimes some parts you might have, some areas of some freedom in there, but it's always going to be there. You're going to have to deal with it. Anxiety. Anxiety is a relation to fear. It's his cousin. You know, heaviness and bondage, those are all cousins. So fear is a tactic the enemy will stop people from moving on with the plans of God. You'll have to face fear every day of your life in order for you to accomplish the will of God for your life. You'll have so many kinds of fears, you'll even be astounded that you actually were in fear. When you make decisions about things, you're just afraid what people think about you. You know? And so people don't make any decisions because they fear people. They fear what other people are going to say. So they're not, haven't been protected by that. Faith is the antidote for your fear that the devil will try to bring on you. So if we get into the Word will bring faith in your heart and your protection from your fear. Because the Bible declares that we can be free from every fear. Fear is a tactic. The Bible, every trap. And fear is a trap that keeps people in bondage. The Scripture says that. The Scripture says here that no evil will come near you. Verse 7 of the book of Psalm 91, says, when you live under the shelter of the Most High, nothing can touch you. Verse 7 says, though 1,000 may fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. So you're going to see this happening around you. But this is what you ask, you know, you have to believe this and ask God, apply that to your life. How do you apply this? You apply it with your mouth. You apply protection with your mouth and you say this. No evil will come near me. Now, when we go to the hospital, I say, no evil will touch me. Because there's lots of danger of that there. Why won't they come near you? Verse 5 and 6 says this. Because you're not in fear. Do not be afraid. Verse 5 and 6. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread disease. that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. Psalm 91, 5 and 6, New Living Translation. Being afraid to die subjugates you to all kinds of bondages. If you're afraid to die, the devil will keep you in prison all your life. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's go and read this. Because God's children are humans, human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of the death. Only this way could he set free all those who have lived their lives as slaves to fear of dying. You know, I work with death a lot. I work with people. I've done a lot of funerals in the last while, since Christmas time and the year before that too. Lots of people, I talk to people every day. Some people dying. Some people phone me late at night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. My child is dying. This guy is dying. Can you pray for this one? He died. Whatever. Continually. I was telling my wife, you know, I need to have, what do you call that? Huh? Debriefing? Yeah, debriefing. Yeah, you need, you know, so I talk to God, and of course, talk to my wife too. Sometimes I don't talk to her. Maybe I should talk to her some more. But I have to, sometimes I'm alone and people talk to me all the time. I have people say, oh, I had a friend of mine the other night, two nights ago, he fell off stairs and he broke his hip. He's about my age. Broke his hip and he's in the hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, Roma, I fell off stairs. I'm going to have an operation. And I spoke like a champion. I spoke like a prophet. I said, don't worry, you'll be okay. I spoke by faith. My natural says, you shouldn't say that. What if he dies on the operating table? I said it by faith. Because my spirit responded right away, he's going to be okay. And he calls me up, or he gives me a message the next day. He's just so happy. It was successful. It was great. They had me walking right after that. And I had a wonderful time. And I had another lady the other night gave me a call. He said, my grandson had an accident, a horrible accident, and his head is all bashed in. He doesn't know who he is. He's under, kind of lost consciousness. They don't know. He doesn't know who he is, whatever. And he's under. Could you pray for me? I said, God will heal that young man. You're in the right place at the right time. God will heal that young man. And so I said, I have claimed protection over him. He will not die, but he'll live. And he declared the works of God. Psalm 118, verse 17 says that he will live and not die. And I agree. And she called me the following day. Oh, yeah, he's still in the hospital. He's under. Then in a short while later that day, oh, he's alive. He's come too. You know, and so you know you get these calls. You're always praying for people. There's always emergency. It's gotta be like at the edge of thing now. He's almost dying. And if I get into that same spirit, I'm not gonna have a prayer myself. So you are going to have to fight fear too. You're going to have to stay in faith. You come to church, you learn, you sit here. You know, there's something about sitting under a corporate setting. There's something stronger sitting under a corporate setting with the word coming to you. There's something stronger there, the corporate anointing getting you when you're different from when you're at home. There's a corporate anointing here that's stronger. Your faith is stronger here. You can use your faith. So, the Bible says that Jesus broke the power of death of dying. So you don't have to be afraid of dying. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, be on guard, stand firm in faith, be courageous, be strong. Be on guard, stand firm in faith, be courageous, be strong. Those are very positive. Very positive. So living courageously does not mean there's absence of fear. No, you live in spite of fear, and you walk in faith in spite of fear. God told Israel not to fear the enemy, no matter how bigger and how larger and how stronger they are. He said, do not be fearful of them. So next time you get into fear and your feelings are, you're getting overwhelmed by the emotions of fear, doesn't mean you can't stand. Because you're not relying on your own strength. You're relying on God sustaining you through the fear. And if you allow yourself to be taken by fear, you're going to go down. So it says here, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. We're going to end in a couple more minutes, so in case anybody needs to know, we're going to have a music put on here to make you go outside, sedated in the presence of God. We're going to inoculate you. We are actually inoculating you right now with faith in the Word of God. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots, an armor greater than your own, do not be afraid. How many people know there's time and time again in our lives where there's something so much greater, so much stronger, so much richer, so much higher? There's just so much against you that you don't feel that you can win against something. Do not be afraid. Your Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you. He didn't promise you that you're not going to face fears or trouble or trials. He says, I want to take you through that situation right now. It's a good place to end right here. So God promises you, no matter what's going to happen, no matter what the situation is, He's going to promise to get you through the whole thing. Now, remember this. And I didn't get to this message. I'll give it on Wednesday. Okay, watch this. Number one, God promises to put a canopy over you to protect you. Number two, God promises to have His angels to protect you wherever you go. That's all. We've studied those, and you could study that yourself. And number three, which I didn't get to, this is my main point, but we're not getting to it today because it's 12 minutes after 3, and the Bruins are playing according to Pastor Steve. So you cut it down at 12 o'clock. No. He's getting ready to come now. You can come. Praise God. You don't have to wait for me. I said, come on. So the baby's coming soon. Okay, so watch this. The third thing is this. You have to come back next week to find out what it is. You're going to have to come back. This is the most important one. It's coming back next week. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You in the name of Jesus for divine protection in our lives. We thank You that Your Word works all the time. Everybody say, I will say of the Lord, You're my God. You're my rescuer. You're my protector. You protect me from every trap of the enemy. You protect me from every trap. You're my God. So I give You my life, spirit, soul, and body. Thank You for a long, healthy life. Thank You, protect me and my family and my stuff, like my car, whenever I drive down the road. No animals, no moose, no oncoming traffic, no bad weather. I protect from that. Thank You, Jesus. I protect it from. Say, thank You, Jesus. I protect it from deadly people, wicked people, killers, molesters. In the name of Jesus, I protect myself and my family by making the confession of faith and prayer offering to You. We completely cover ourselves but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can just sense that right now. In the name of Jesus, protection. Everybody say, angels, go and cause protection over my family, over my life. If anybody needs help, angel, you protect them. Bring them out of that situation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, I'm protected from every disease. Disease will be far from me. Wherever I go today, I will not be afraid, but I'll use protection. I won't be stupid. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give a shout offering to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you. Pastor, go ahead.